I said last week that I was going to end the year by closing the Advent theme of preaching Christ from the Old Testament, and also to preach this last sermon of the year. So I tried to kind of join it into this one, to this one sermon. So what I want us to do is I want you guys to join me on a trip down memory lane. I don't know about you, but at the end of the year, it's always a signal for me to always look back at the past year, and also to look forward to the next, right? As you heard our worship leader prayed, right? Thank you for the past year, Lord. Bless us for the coming. That's the tendency that we have. I don't know, who else kind of does that every year end? Look back, but also look forward. So lately, I've been thinking a lot about my past. Okay, I'm 47 years old. I know it doesn't look like it. I'm 47, yeah. Yeah. I'm 48 next year. Yeah. So I feel old, right? Especially when I see young people that I used to minister to getting married, having kids, singing up here. It makes me feel old, and it makes me always tend to look back to the past. And lately, I've been looking a lot. I've been thinking a lot about my past and looking beyond just the 1 year to sometimes going back as far as I can remember. And these memories are mostly always triggered by, for me, it's music. Every time I listen to music, especially from the 80s, young people call them retros, especially from the 80s. It brings me back to the decade that I grew up in. So as I listen to certain 80s songs, and I listen to a lot of them, especially when you know that series that came out on Netflix, Stranger Things? It's based on the 80s. All the soundtrack is 80s. I watched it again this past few weeks. Getting ready for season 5, right? And I got back into listening to these 80s songs. So as I listen to these certain 80s songs, I can't help but feel emotional. Who does that? Who does sound trips? Sound trip. Not a lot of people, eh? You don't do sound tripping? After this, I think you should do some sound tripping. It's good for you. It's good for you to kind of reminisce, right? Reminiscing, by the way, is different than just remembering. Remembering is just details, right? Oh, I did this back then. But reminiscing comes with emotions. So when I listen to 80s songs, that's how I feel. I feel emotional. And it's hard to describe the emotions that I feel during these sound trips. It feels like sadness. You feel sad, but I'm not really sad. You know, there's a hint of happiness because you remember the good old days, but you're not really happy. So it's kind of like this weird feeling. And the best way I think to describe it is nostalgic, that emotion. You feel nostalgic. So what is it? You saw in the video what nostalgia is, right? There's an article in the New York Times that I read, apart from that video, entitled, "What is Nostalgia Good For?" Quite a bit, said the New York Times. Nostalgia is this bittersweet emotion that has a net effect of making life seem more meaningful and death less frightening. And that's what nostalgia is. It's this bittersweet emotion that has a net effect of making life seem more meaningful and death less frightening. And again, as you saw in the introduction video, originally, nostalgia was described as a neurological disease of essentially demonic cause by a Swiss doctor named Johannes Hofer in 1688. It was affecting soldiers who were at war. And because of their present circumstance, they tend to remember and look back to, oh man, I wish I was at home. You know, I wish there was no bombs around me right now. I wish I was at home, you know, enjoying my family, enjoying my field, enjoying my backyard. And back then, it was bad because it would paralyze people. because they couldn't, you know, they couldn't move forward because of this thing that's holding them back. Maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's depression. But this Swiss doctor called it nostalgia. So which is it? Is nostalgia or feeling nostalgic good or bad for us? And in what sense is it good? And in what sense is it bad? So in order to answer those questions, let's go back. I'm sure you saw it on the video. Let's do a word study on that nostalgia, right? According to an article on desiringgod.org, nostalgia, and I think the video also showed this, comes from the Greek word nostros, which is to return home, and algos, which is pain or a longing. Nostalgia is an acute homesickness for days gone by. It escapes from present unhappiness or boredom into what was and cannot be again. That's how nostalgia is defined. It helps us escape from a present unhappiness or boredom into what was and cannot be again. So on the surface, feeling nostalgic is not inherently bad. But if left unchecked, could lead to something bad. If you tend to nostalgize, right? If you tend to nostalgize and remain in the past because of your, let's say, your unhappiness with your present, you're never going to be happy because you can't bring that back, right? It's done. So if you don't watch it, if you don't check nostalgia, it could lead to something bad. But I think it's good, and I'm going to try to argue for it. So the teacher in Ecclesiastes, in our text, warns us, don't say, I think this is in verse 10, don't say, why were the former days better than these? Right? So you should not say, how come my past, like, what's better? Don't say that. Why? Because, or for, it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Okay? So in context, if you look at the text that we read, this verse comes after the teacher says that the end is better than the beginning and that patience is better than pride. You can see that in verse 8. So if you can flash Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Okay? So follow the context, right? Follow the train of thought. And then in verse 9, the teacher says, in support of verse 8, by warning us against anger, which is a result of impatience. What does verse 9 say? Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Okay? So how does the teacher support verse 8 when he says that better is the end than the beginning? Don't be angry with your present because of your impatience. Right? Because that's our tendency, right? When the present is not up to our standards, when the present is not good, we get angry. We start thinking, man, you know, why can't this just be better? Or you look back and say, how come back then was nice? Why am I stuck in this situation right now? And the teacher says, that's just a result of impatience when you get angry at that because you're not waiting for what's next. And then verse 10 comes. So given the flow of these two verses, verse 10 comes in as a warning against a nostalgic view of life. In essence, the teacher is saying that since the end is always better than the beginning, stop saying that the beginning was better than the present while you patiently wait for the future. Because in this sense, when you do that, when you keep doing that to yourself, you know, your present's not as good. So you look back and say, oh man, back then was nice. When I was a kid, life was easy. When I was a teenager, life was great. Now that I'm adult, there's a term for it, right? Adulting. That's why people don't want to become adults. Right? They just want to stay a teenager. They just want to be carefree. They don't want to care. Why? Because they live in the past. And so when you think like this, the teacher says you're not doing this out of wisdom. And so in this sense, when you feeling nostalgic in that sense is bad, because of the tendency to not just remember the past, but to dwell on it. And for some, to live in it. There's an article in Desiring God that says this: backward glances, even backward longings, have their good purposes in the lives of God's children. If we allow it, nostalgia itself can become a prophet of the Lord. But nostalgia can also take a darker turn and can tell a sadder tale. As the winds of memory blow from yesterday to today, they can carry a whisper, barely heard but deeply felt: your best days are behind you. And I think I found myself stuck in that these past couple of, I think, months now. There's this whispering. You can barely hear it, but your best days are behind you. Your best days are behind you. Every time I look at pictures of myself back, I think the worship team came over and I showed them pictures of me back when I was younger. Yeah, they couldn't believe it. You had hair. I know it's, yeah. It's hard to imagine, right? Because, but when you think about it, yeah, maybe my best days are behind me. maybe I'm almost done. So I found myself stuck in this trap a few weeks ago. I remember driving and thinking about how my run in this world is almost done. I'm almost done. My eldest son is on the brink of beginning a career as a teacher. You know, it seems like just like yesterday, it was just born, right? Now he's going to be a teacher. My youngest son's going to university next year. I'm almost done. I know I'm not that, again, I'm not that old. And I want to talk to some of the older people. How do you deal with that? You know, knowing that you're almost there, like you're almost done, like the exit is right there. Right? How do you deal with it? Because when I think about it, you're happy. I'm happy that my kids are doing well. But then I'm also sad that, man, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. On top of that, my wife will be celebrating a milestone this coming year. I'm not going to say what it is. She's not here, so guess what it is. So she'll be celebrating a milestone this coming year. So all these things, you know, while I was driving, listening to 80s music, I started feeling nostalgic. Looking back when my kids were first born, the first time I met my wife here at church, I was 15, she was 17. Right? A long time ago, right? 15, 17, we're still kids. Remember voice tapes? I made a voice tape for her with all kinds of songs. And when I hear those songs, you know, I can't fight this feeling any longer. And yet I'm still afraid to let it show. You know those songs? It reminds me of those days, and you start feeling sad and happy at the same time. So I couldn't help but feel as if, you know, time flew by so fast and now it's almost over. And so while I was driving, while I was feeling this, my wife was with me. I asked my wife, you ever think about how our run is almost over? You ever think about that? How what we started 30 plus years ago is almost at its end. And I asked her, how do you feel about where we are right now? And could we have done more? And could we have accomplished more? You know, the last question I asked her, do you think this is it for us? This is as far as we're going to get, as far as, you know, living our lives and accomplishing whatever it is that we accomplish. Is this it? So at this point, I think I was experiencing unhealthy nostalgia. You know, it not only affected how I live my present, but also how I viewed the future. Because every time I feel like that, I feel like tomorrow I'm going to die. Like tomorrow, that's it. It's done. I'm done. So I wasn't necessarily saying that the past was better, but I was letting the past affect how I live the present and how I view the future. And I think if you look at the scriptures, it's like when the Israelites grumbled in the wilderness. You remember this part? Numbers 11, verses 4 to 6. You guys read that.
Verse 5.
They're in the wilderness. They're obviously they're hungry, and then what do? They nostalgize. Oh, I remember when we had meat to eat in Egypt. So nice. There are cucumbers, there's salad, all you can eat. But was that their life in Egypt? No, right? But they romanticize it, right? Because they want to feel better about their current situation. So they romanticize it. So. One of the articles said that human memory is not able to tell objective history. Sometimes the way we remember things are not what it was. You make it look, you make it seem like it was nicer than it was in order to make yourself feel better. But really, in reality, it wasn't. So human memory is not able to tell objective history. Even the best historians select and emphasize certain events in history more than others, while the worst historians even distort and embellish history. Sometimes unhealthy nostalgia can be attributed to a romanticized version of the past in the mind of a person. Sometimes when you look back and say, man, the days gone by were better. Sometimes when you do that, you're just trying to make yourself feel good because you're trying to selectively think of only the good things. You forget all about the bad stuff that happened. There's bad stuff that happened too back in those days, right? Piper said this in another article. The past is not for fueling and paralyzing regret and disappointment. The past is not meant for fueling anger and grudges. A lot of people use the past for regret and use the past for disappointment. Those are all misuses of the past. This is not what the past is for. God didn't give us the past to make us regretful and to paralyze us with disappointment. Now, so if that's the case, and I agree with Piper, then what is the past for? What do you do when you nostalgize? Or in other words, what is a healthy form of nostalgia? Okay, first, to answer that question, let me take you back to the New York Times article. It says this. Many other people, he explains, have defined nostalgia as comparing the past with the present and saying implicitly that the past was better. Those were the days. But that may not be the best way for most people to nostalgize. The comparison will not benefit, say, the elderly in a nursing home who don't see their future as bright. But if they focus on the past in an existential way, or what has my life meant, then they can potentially benefit. In other words, a healthy form of nostalgia, according to science, is for a person to look back to see how they spent their life. Okay? Look back and see how you spent your life. But is this really a healthy way of looking at it? Because I think that looking at it that way has limitations. What if you spent your life helping others only for those people to turn their back on you at your greatest moment of need? What if that's you? What if you spent your life helping all your relatives, friends, whatever, and then now that you're retired, old, you find yourself alone in a nursing home? Looking back, will looking back help you? You should ask the people in the nursing homes, right? Does that help? Well, go think about what you did. How do you spend your life? No, right? That's not going to help. There is it's limited in that sense, right? So even though science is all for comparison-free nostalgizing, okay, which I think is good, okay, I don't think you should nostalgize. I don't think you should nostalgize and compare present versus past. I don't think you should do that. But I don't think that doing it existentially helps either. How did I spend my life? What if you didn't spend your life the way you should have? How will that make you feel, right? So I don't think it benefits a person in that sense. There's got to be more to looking at the past that will enable people to have joy in the present and to look forward to the future. So let's go back to our text to find out what that is. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10 again. I just want you to remind you of this. So say not, why were the former days better than these? So don't nostalgize and compare, right? You see that word, those words better than? That's comparing, right? It's better than. So don't compare your present to your past by nostalgizing that way. Because, or for, it is not from wisdom that you ask. It's not wise to do that. Right? Because your memory is messed up. Right? So now, what's the wise thing to do? Next verse, 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. So what kind of wisdom should you nostalgize with? Wisdom with an inheritance. What does that mean? When you nostalgize with wisdom, you look back while keeping focused on the future. Right? I think that's what it says. Wisdom with an inheritance. Because without a hope for the future, without a hope for an inheritance, then there's no point for either or. You look back, it doesn't matter. You stay in the present, don't matter. If there is no inheritance, if you're not looking forward to anything, then what's life for, right? So the teacher is telling us the wisdom to use in when you nostalgize is a wisdom with an inheritance. Or in other words, have wisdom that is connected to an inheritance. Let me read to you what a commentary said about this. It says that a man's wisdom is more respected and is more advantageous when it goes together with the patrimony and property bequeathed to him, given to him by his father, which will not abide unless he has wisdom to manage his riches. But still, better riches is wisdom for those who lead a public life, for their wisdom assists and maintains them. So this commentary is saying that wisdom, the way you apply wisdom when you're nostalgizing is you connect it to an inheritance, because that wisdom is also what's going to get you to that inheritance, right? If nostalgia, okay, in the beginning was determined by a scientist that is a paralyzing disease, if you nostalgize wrong, that's what's going to happen. You're never going to move forward. So how do you get that promise inheritance if you just stay where you are, right? So the teacher in Ecclesiastes is saying, attach it to inheritance so you keep moving forward, right? That wisdom not only prevents you from being stuck, it helps you to move forward to get the inheritance. That's why when you think about looking back at the Old Testament, what we did, preaching Christ from the Old Testament, Why do we do that? Number one reason, obviously, is to make sense of the new. The New Testament is, how do I say this? It's more vivid. Right? The good news is it's better when you find out that, no, this is where it came from. Right? At the same time, what you're doing is, when you look back at the Old Testament, and I'm looking back all the way back to Genesis 2, when everything was still perfect before sin came in the world. What you're doing is I'm looking back, but I'm looking forward to when that day will become true again. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm looking back to Genesis to know and to see that, no, this is where God is bringing us back. God is bringing us back to Eden. Right? God is bringing us back to Eden so he can fellowship with us freely, with no sin, right? No death, right? No more tears, no more problems, no more issues. So that's looking back to look forward. Same thing. Right? So therefore, it is the combination of wisdom with an inheritance that is a benefit to those who see the Son. Or in other words, those who nostalgize in wisdom with an inheritance will benefit those whose focus is on the source of life. So if I were to apply this understanding to my example earlier about myself, looking back in wisdom is to see that everything that I have spent my life doing, good or bad, should remind me of the goodness of the source of life that has sustained me in the past and is sustaining me in the present moment and will sustain me in the future. I said that during Sunday school. But just like what our Sunday school teacher said, easier said than done. Because I still have a fear of, just like what Kuya Ramir said earlier, I have a fear of getting old. Myself. I'm thinking like, because now there's some stuff that I used to do that I can't do anymore. Before, when I still had all the weight, I couldn't tie my shoes. It's hard to tie my shoes. You ever had that? Or cutting your toenails? That's hard to do when you have a big belly in front of you. That's a workout. Like you have to hold your breath. Right? There's some stuff I can't do anymore. I tried playing basketball. I can't do it anymore. I tried doing all kinds of stuff. I can't do those things anymore. But I'm still looking forward by faith that even though I won't be able to do these things anymore, I'll still have joy in life because I'm looking forward to something. I know, easy to say, hard to do. But that's what the Bible teaches us about growing old and nostalgizing and looking forward to another year. That's what the Bible teaches us. So, again, to apply this, looking back is to remind me of the goodness of the source that has sustained me in the past and is sustaining me in the present and will sustain me in the future. So even science agrees with this way of nostalgizing, right? Again, the New York Times article states that going back to a nostalgic repository can help individuals with some extra motivation to keep going. A nostalgic repository. The article mentioned that the doctor that's doing this study said that every time, like every day, you should be looking for ways to add to your nostalgic repository. Something that you can go back to when things go bad. Right? This is good for marriages, right? Because marriages, there's always going to be fights. There's always going to be, always, right? Especially the older you get, the longer you stay together. Those of you who are going to be, who are getting married, yeah, you're all sweet and stuff now. You know, susubuan pa. Next thing you know, you'll be at each other's throats. What is it that will keep you from like just choking each other and getting a divorce and all this stuff? Sometimes you go back, nostalgic repositories. You go back to those good times, right? Unless, and this is impossible, unless you didn't have any, you shouldn't have gotten married to begin with. But you go back to those. Friendships, same thing. Church, same thing. When things get rough, you go back to those good times and you trust that God will be able to do those again and even better, right? So always try to spend time to kind of fill in your nostalgic repository and keep going back to that because it could give you some extra motivation to keep going. Focusing on memories without comparing them to the present or anything else for that matter helps motivate people to overcome present trials and tribulations. And again, this is a scientific technique that has been used to help people in nursing homes or even women recovering from cancer surgery. But I think beneath that, at its foundation, God's purpose for the memories of the past is to always remind us to look at the source of life and to trust in his faithfulness to give us the inheritance that he has promised to those who believe in him for salvation. That's underneath this. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Hey, you guys read.
With our spirit, that you are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ.
So when you look at that, we're heirs, right?
When you're an heir, you get an inheritance, right? So that's what we're looking forward to. That's underneath this I guess, exercise of nostalgizing, is that we have something to look forward to. We attach that wisdom that we have when we nostalgize to that inheritance. So C.S. Lewis, in his essay, Meditation in a Tool Shed, wrote this. I was standing today in the dark tool shed. The sun was shining outside, and through the crack at the top of the door, there came a sunbeam. From where I stood, that beam of light, with the specks of dust floating in it, was the most striking thing in the place. Everything else was almost pitch black. I was seeing the beam, not seeing things by it. Then I moved, so that the beam fell on my eyes. Instantly, the whole previous picture vanished. I saw no tool shed, and above all, no beam. Instead, I saw framed in the irregular cranny on the top of the door, green leaves moving on the branches of a tree outside and beyond that, 90 million miles away, the sun. Looking along the beam and looking at the beam are very different experiences. Sometimes when we feel nostalgic, we tend to look at the beam instead of just looking along the beam of the past. We tend to focus too much on the beam of the past, the good old days, and the tendency is to compare past versus present. That's why the feeling of nostalgia is almost always bittersweet. It's not sadness, but it's also not happiness. That's not God's purpose for nostalgia. I believe that God's purpose for nostalgia is for human beings to remember his faithfulness and goodness in the past, to give them assurance that he will be faithful in the present and in the future. Don't just stare at the beam with all the dust particles in it. Follow the beam to the source, right? In a way, just like what I said earlier, looking back to the Old Testament to make more sense of the New Testament is kind of like nostalgizing. The grace of God, which is so prevalent in the New Testament, traces its origins back to the Old Testament, where God first showed mercy and grace to mankind. In the same way, we cannot unhinge from our past, because even though the past is past, it was still part of us. It was used by God to make us who we are today. And that's why we kept stressing it. All the speakers throughout Advent kept stressing, you cannot unhinge gospel from the Old Testament. I don't care what other people say, whether it be Andy Stanley or not. You cannot unhinge the Old Testament from the gospel. It's part of it. It's one big story. Just like you cannot unhinge your past. It's there. It happened. It's what made who you are today, right? And God used it to make all of us who we are today. So being grateful for our past is one way to help us overcome the present, whatever issues, trials we may be going through right now. The people that just lost their loved ones, they continue to pray for them, right? Sister Tessie and Brother Jesse, pray for them. But it's the same thing. How do you overcome death? Go back to the past. That's all that you have, right? So that's all that you're holding on to. And after people die, that's all you got. And I think Piper said that knowledge can only come from the past. You can't learn from the future. You don't know what that is, right? Everything that you learn, it comes in the present and then in past. That's it. And then you want to go back to it? You don't go to the future. You go to the past. So we can't unhinge past from who we are right now. And that's why I think God allowed us to have memories so that we can remember. And the Bible's full of it, right? Remember. Jesus Christ on the Last Supper, remember. Remember this. Remember me. Remember my sacrifice. Remember, right? And I think, again, it's to give us to give us strength to overcome present circumstances and hope for future. So let me close with this. And again, it's another quote. I know a lot of quotes because I read like probably 10 different articles studying for this. I just want to make sure I give you guys a kind of, because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to nostalgia. It's a big topic. Let me close with this quote. Piper said this: "We are people of hope, and therefore we do not live in the past. We draw thankfulness from the past. We draw life-giving repentance from the past. We feed our faith and hope on the faithfulness of God in the past. And we learn everything we know, and we get all the wisdom we have from the past. But all of it is for the sake of this afternoon's joy, this afternoon's faith, this afternoon's obedience and joy for all of all eternity." Right. If you look throughout the Bible, there's a lot of verses that talk about don't look back. Right? Those who put their hand to the plow and look back are not fit. But is there a way that looking back will benefit? I think so. When the Bible calls us to repent, that's looking back. When the Bible calls us to thanksgiving and gratitude, that's looking back. So there is a way to look back with wisdom. But it has to be attached to an inheritance. Otherwise, you'll just end up living in the past. So, is it okay to feel nostalgic? I think so. I think it's okay to feel nostalgic. So, it's a yes and no answer, okay? Yes, if you use nostalgia as a joy-increasing, faith-building experience. No, if you use it as a way to live and relive a part of your life that you cannot bring back. So don't look back and just try to relive those days. Like, I'm not going to go and get hair transplants, and I'm not going to do that. Those of you who are losing your hair, forget it. All right? This is it. That's done. It's over. That time in your life is done. Just live with it. Just live with what you have right now. And if you lose it, you lose it. But that's it. But don't live in the past. You know, it's not good for you. But do look back. Do look back. In fact, the article from the New York Times is recommending people to nostalgize 2 to 3 times a week. Who does that? I do it. I take sound trips sometimes every day. Sometimes when I drive my wife around the town, we take sound trips. But that's more like time together and also just, you know, nostalgizing. Do it. It's healthy for you. So let me read you this quote from the New York Times article. And again, it recommends this. It recommends nostalgizing. So not just the Bible talks about it. I think the science also backs it up. The article ends by saying this: if you're not neurotic or avoidant, I think you'll benefit by nostalgizing 2 or maybe 3 times a week. It says your experience is experience it as a prized possession. The fact that you can still remember, and we talked about this too, Sunday school. There will come a time when you can't remember anymore. You know, some people get sick with Alzheimer's or dementia. They can't remember anymore. So while you can, remember, go back, way back, and start thinking of those things. But again, don't do it so that you can just live there. Do it so you can see how good God has been and how good He's going to be in the future. Experience it as a prized possession. When Humphrey Bogart says, "We'll always have Paris," that's nostalgia for you. When Humphrey Bogart said that, it was in bad circumstances. But we'll always have Paris. I can say that to my wife right now. I saw this app. There is this app where they see each other, like the couple was seeing each other on the screen, and one of them is getting old. Only one of them. But the other one is still young. So you're seeing your spouse getting old. And I'm like, oh man, that must be. In real life, that must be hard. Yeah, I've spent more than half of my life with this woman. And to watch them degrade and just to, you know, slowly just waste away. That must be hard, right? What's gonna help you overcome that? I've been watching all these videos about with these old couples saying goodbye to their spouses dying. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm watching all this stuff. But I'm just watching it, and I'm like, what would I do in that situation? There's only one thing you can do. You nostalgize. You think of all the good times. You think of all the, you know, the things that you experience. Somebody's nostalgizing over there. That's the best thing about kids, right? They're not even gonna remember that. But yeah, that's the only thing you can do on those days, on those times. Here's what I always do. Just every time I kind of like, I feel like I haven't seen my wife in a bit, because we tend to look at our spouses or at our family members, but we don't stare at them. I told you guys this before. Take some time to stare at. No, seriously. Somebody's laughing already. No, take some time. Stare at them. And you'll see, oh man, they've gotten old. They've gotten this. They've gotten that. Because sometimes life just goes by so fast. And then the next time you look at this person, you stare at this person, it's like 20 years have gone by. But you see them every day. Because you don't really take time to like look at them. Right? So take some time to do that. And take snapshots, right? Take snapshots of it. Because as you grow old, that's what you're going to go back to, right? Oh, she used to look like this. I'm lucky because Jen still looks like how she was before. I don't think she got old, but she better have taken a bunch of snapshots with me, right? Because I've changed. But yeah, do that. When you spend time with your family, spend time with your kids, don't just glance at them, like stare at them. Actually, take the time to like look at them and remember them. Because there will come a time, that's the only thing you'll have of them. So yeah, take the time to nostalgize. It says here that experiences or memories, we have it and nobody can take it away from us. It's our diamond. All right? So as you celebrate, the end of another year and welcome the next, take some time, nostalgize. It might do you some good, but remember to do it in wisdom with a focus on your inheritance as children of God. Amen. Let's pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace. Shine upon you
and be gracious.
And be gracious.